Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember, you can support our work by going to thefatherstay.tv/donate or locals.com, and I appreciate it. And you can get your Punchy's coffee while you're there. Amazing coffee. Good. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop. I have with me today Mitch Francis. He is an entrepreneur, founder and CEO of Francis Development, Inc., and the author of a new book called Bad, A Solution for Today's Big A Problems. Welcome, man.
Thanks so much. Good to see you, Jesse.
And so how do you come up with Bad, A Solution for Today's Big A Problem.
Well, let me ask you, am I allowed to say the A? Or
yeah, you can.
Okay.
You're representing you, so yes.
Okay. So we've got huge problems, particularly in our country and the world.
Absolutely.
And this really came about kind of surprisingly. We had a family tragedy about 2.5 years ago. You may remember there was a mass killing in an out suburb of Chicago, where a crazed young man with assault rifles killed 7 people and wounded a lot more. And one of the people he killed was my brother-in-law's brother.
Really?
Yeah, it was just
That's
horrible.
Amazing.
It was horrible. And as you can imagine, the family was devastated. This was such a terrific guy, Jesse. He was great. And I was hurt by this. And I actually left angry. And I looked around, particularly at our country, and said, what is going on here? We have 2 mass shootings a day in the United States.
Really?
Yeah. And nobody's doing anything about most of these problems that are just enormous.
Right, and they're getting worse, and no, they're not being solved.
Exactly. So I've always been kind of a news guy, and interested in the news and current events, and it's just my nature to go, well, why don't they just do that? And when I was home from the funeral, I looked at this and I said, I've got ideas for solutions for a lot of our big problems that nobody's doing anything about.
Right.
And I decided to do an outline. And I did this outline and I came up with 20 major problems with at least the beginnings of solutions for that were really doable. And I said, this is a book. And I, yeah.
This is the book, folks, and we're going to talk about this as we move forward here. So we want you to check it out, all right?
Well, thanks for that.
Was your brother-in-law, what was he doing when that happened? Was he like walking down the road?
It was a 4th of July parade.
Oh, he was at a parade.
He was just watching the parade on the 4th of July, and this guy from the rooftop, like just shot Trump a few months ago.
Right. That's
just
amazing,
started
man.
Shooting people.
What a mess.
It was horrible.
What's important to you?
Well, I wrote this book with solutions for our really big problems.
Right.
And I want to see them happen.
But so, they're not going to happen.
Well,
they're interested in solutions, but it seems as though things are getting worse and not better.
But nobody's been talking about solutions, right, Jesse. And here they are. You want to stop the ocean levels from rising. You want to get rid of assault rifles. Solve the abortion problem. Solve the debt. Pay off the entire U.S. debt. It's in here. So if I can excite some people to want to get involved, and with enough people, we can make these changes.
But people today don't even like one another. Mm. So it's hard to work together because human beings today don't get along that well. Have you noticed that?
I think I have, and I think that it's largely, a problem that stems from our political parties.
Yeah.
That
has a big part.
Yeah, for sure. And, the people are not compromising. People aren't talking and interested in being with each other and solving problems and getting this done. And I think that's why these problems that really have good solutions aren't happening. that nobody's posing them because nobody's talking to each other and finding a solution. You know, to tell you the truth, Jesse, I'm not that smart. Solutions are out there.
You're getting a lot done for not being smart. So let me ask you, you live here in L.A., right?
I do.
Were you affected by the fire at all?
We were so lucky. I mean, people, you know, went through this that it lost everything. So if you have your home and your loved ones, you are lucky.
Right.
We did have a power outage. We lost power for 5 days. And unfortunately, during that time, my wife had COVID.
Wow.
So we're normally, I would have, it was horrible. I would have gone to a hotel. But, you know, she didn't want to get anyone sick.
All right.
So we stayed home, and I finally was able to get a small generator that just that did a space heater in our bedroom and ran a refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
So that at least she was in a warm bedroom.
Right.
But when she would go to the bathroom, it was, you know, cold air. So right. It wasn't good. She was pretty sick.
What a mess, huh?
We were lucky. We're still counting our blessings for that one.
So as a result of what happened during the fire, I thought the fire never going to end. It looked like every day they were saying, there's a new fire, and there's a new fire. As a result of what happened, are you on this joining forces with the people to get rid of Karabas, the mayor, and Newsom, Gavin Newsom,
well,
the governor?
I think they did a poor job.
Yeah.
You know, they did not get a good grade on how this happened. It was an incredibly bad situation. We had winds that we've never had before. So it was going to be a bad situation, but it could have been better than it was. And
should we get rid of them?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And there's even, you know, some more issues, you know, about that. And, you know, the fact that we can't get fire insurance is horrifying.
Yeah.
And that's going to drop all of our property rates and give us risk. You know, if you can't get fire insurance for your home, your pants are around your ankles. You know, it's very dangerous. And, you know, and I think it's the job of our government right now. I think Newsom should be spending 100% of his time working with the insurance companies. What do you guys need to stay in business? How can we keep you here?
But instead, he's starting a podcast.
He wants to be like you.
Podcast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he wants to be like you.
Amazing. I don't know, but it seems like he prepared to run for president.
I think he wanted that desperately, but I think that got shot down.
But it looked like he geared up for next time.
Maybe so.
Because even he's against boys playing in girls' sports now, whereas before he didn't seem to be against that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
So so you're married. How long have you been married?
A long time.
Yeah.
I found the right girl.
Oh, you did?
I did.
And how did you find her?
You know, that's one of my best stories. You phrased it very interestingly because I did find her. I grew up in Denver, which means I'm a skier.
Right.
And I was a professional skier. I raced. I taught. When I was at the University of Colorado, I was a real estate major there. I taught skiing on the weekends and holidays. And I was teaching skiing one day, and there was a whiteout. It's a very interesting thing where you can't see your hand in front of you. It's snowing so hard. You just can't. It's a whiteout. And I'm skiing down, and I see this figure, this person, like frozen, you know, like a popsicle. I'm not kidding. And I could tell that she was in trouble. She just wasn't moving. And I skied up and I said, I'll get you down. And I let her join my class and I skied her back down to her instructor. And she said, I saved her life. So she had to marry me.
Wow. So when she said, you saved my life, you asked, well, would you marry me?
Well, a lot of years later, actually. So we kept in touch. And you know, when I ended up moving to Los Angeles, she was living here. We started going out and we've been married, Jesse, 43 years.
Wow. That's a long time in today's world.
I found the right one, I'm telling you.
And you have children?
I have two stepsons and I have grandchildren.
Really?
Yeah.
And so was it love at first sight?
For me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You knew that this is going to be my wife once I get her off this snow,
you know, so she was covered head to toe. There was this little bit of her nose I could see. Like, that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And does she obey you?
Are you kidding? No.
She doesn't obey you?
You know what? We've got a great thing. She doesn't need to. We make decisions together. She doesn't have to listen to me. I don't have to listen to her. But we talk about things.
Really?
Yeah, and make good decisions.
And so why would you marry a woman that would not obey you?
Because we got something a lot better. We've got a partnership.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And so how do you...
Jesse, it's lasted 43 years. I'm doing something right.
So is that because she doesn't have to obey you? For guys who are getting married or into a marriage, have you been married for so long because she doesn't obey you?
No, it's so much deeper than that. You know, I want to be with her.
Okay.
You know, she wants to be with me, I think. And, and you know, that's like the secret ingredient. You know, what you want to do, you make happen.
And how do you deal with the hell in her when it comes out?
Well, thankfully, it's not very often. And, you know, we kind of talk it out. And, you know, and she is able to get over it. You know, when I have a shitty spell or whatever, you know, she talks me through it and, you know, we move on.
Really?
Yeah.
So when the hell comes out of her, you're like, okay, honey, let's talk about this hell coming out of you. You need to calm down.
Well, see, I don't phrase it like you just said. You know, I think that's a dangerous direction.
Oh, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I think we can talk about this. You know, I don't say there's, you know, hell coming out of her or, you know, that,
but let's solve this.
Let's solve this problem.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm
a problem solver. I wrote the problem solving book.
Yeah. Does hell come out of you at times?
Yeah, of course.
And what does she do when hell comes out of you? How does she deal with that?
She'll get upset. She'll let me know she's not happy with something. And hopefully, you know, talk me through it, you know, to where she's comfortable and I'm comfortable.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, we got a good thing.
So is it normal for hell to come out of a man? Is that a normal state or abnormal state of being?
Well, it depends what hell you're talking about, but everybody makes mistakes.
Right.
Everybody does dumb things.
Right.
I don't think anybody is immune to that, and certainly not me. So, yeah, I think everybody has their foibles, their problems.
What would be your suggestion? I really appreciate you doing this too. What would be your suggestion for men? Your wife already had children, right?
Yeah.
Already had children. That means she's been married before.
Right.
Okay. Have you been married before?
No.
You never been married?
No.
Really?
No.
Whoa.
She's my first wife.
And so what would you say to men who are getting involved with women who already been married and or already have children? Is that a wise thing to do?
Well, that's a really good question because it could be very problematic,
yeah.
You know, and I've seen that be a problem.
Yeah, me too.
But I was very fortunate. My stepsons had a terrific father. They didn't need me to be their father.
Right.
So when I came in to this relationship, I reckoned that I just need to be their friend.
Were they little kids at the time or adults?
They were early teenagers.
Oh, okay.
And I just said, I'm going to be their friend. And I was. And we've got, you know, this is, you know, so many years later, decades later, we're still very close. And, you know, it's kind of funny, Jesse. You know, there were times where they put me in more of a parental role.
They did.
Yeah. Can you help us with this? Or can we talk about that? Or, you know, whatever it is. But for the most part, we've just been friends all these years.
And did you get along with their father?
Yeah.
So that wasn't an issue there?
No.
Nice. Should men, I've noticed that educated women don't make for good wives and mothers. Have you noticed that?
No.
Yeah. Should men marry educated women? Because educated women tend to think that they're equal to men. And so they want you to stay home and be the mama and the house, whatever, mama thing. And they want to go to work and they want to be equal to men. Would you recommend that men marry educated women?
You know, I think marriage is a partnership that needs to be negotiated and, you know, worked out. And, you know, it's the relationship that evolves over time to, you know, this is where, who we are and what we're about.
Right.
My wife is very educated, really smart.
Really?
And fun and funny and soulful. And she's just the best person I've ever known. So I would say, yeah. I mean, if you find the right woman, yes, who's educated, yes. It worked. It's worked incredibly well.
Would you, when the kids are adults now, I guess, almost, would you let, if, let's say the kids were little. I'm going to do it if. I don't like doing it, but if.
Sure.
Let's say you had kids with her. They were very small. And she wanted to go to work. Would you make her stay home and raise your children? Or would you let her go to work?
We would negotiate it. We would figure it out.
And
that's why it works. It's not up to me. It's not up to her. This is our life together. Let's figure out how to do what works for you, what works for me, and works for a child. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when people talk to each other and listen to each other, you can get a lot done.
Yeah. But it's still difficult for men when the woman is want to be equal to the man. It's a difficult thing to have a marriage like that, right?
I think if a man is insecure, you know, I could see that being a problem, you know, but hopefully a man feels good enough about himself that he cheers for his wife's, you know, to do what she wants to do and be successful and be happy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Are you a Christian?
No.
You're not a Christian?
No.
Are you Jewish?
I don't practice religion.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Are you an atheist?
Yeah.
You're an atheist?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean to be an atheist? When you say you are an atheist, what do you mean?
Well, I just don't believe that there's a God that created the universe. I don't know who did or what did,
right.
But it's so enormous. You know, I look at it from that perspective that I just can't get my arms around the idea that anything could be so big, so powerful as to create the entire universe.
Really?
Yeah.
And so where do you think the universe, how was it started if there wasn't a God?
Jesse, I don't know. I really don't. But, you know, there's a Big Bang theory, but what caused that? You know, there's so much. But I do know that I can't even fully comprehend the size of the universe.
Right.
It's even our own Milky Way galaxy, you know, has 4 billion stars like our sun. So there are lots of planets in there. There's probably a lot of other planets that have life on them.
Yeah, I'm doing more than what we can imagine.
Yeah, and there are billions more whole galaxies.
Yeah.
So it's big.
So if you don't believe God exists, who created you?
You know, chance. I think so much of life is
chance. Created
chance.
You? How do you think chance created you?
You know, I think that
chance got in bed with a woman and said, let me create a son.
Well, you know something, when you think of the odds of any given sperm fertilizing any given egg, you know, out of the millions and of possibilities, it's chance.
But
now, you
can
believe it's God.
Chance,
if you believe that's God, I'm happy for you.
But what do you mean chance created you? Who is chance and how did they do this?
No, it's just random luck. You know, I think it was random luck that I, you know, found my wife frozen on a mountain. You know, I think so many things are random and happen. And if you can take advantage.
But how can chance create a human being?
For me, I just think that's how it works.
Really?
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
To me.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you always been an atheist?
Yeah. I think through my whole adult life I have.
Really?
Yeah.
Did your parents know you were an atheist?
Yes. Yeah.
They knew that? Were they atheists as well?
I think, you know, we didn't talk about it much, but I my dad was and my mom wasn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, your mother was not?
No.
She was a Christian?
No, Jewish.
Oh, are you Jewish?
Uh-huh.
You're Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. You don't look like a Jew.
Oh, yes, I do.
You look more like Italian.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Italian flair about you.
Oh, okay.
I love Israel. Have you ever gone to Israel?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What a place.
Yeah.
What an amazing place.
I've said that. We've gone over there twice.
Oh, great.
And I've said that if I were God, and if someone died and they wanted to come to heaven, they would have to have gone to Israel first.
Oh.
When they get to the pearly gate, the first question I would have my angels ask, did you go to Israel on earth?
Interesting.
And if they said no, they can't get into heaven. Isn't that amazing?
That's a good test, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an incredible place. Regardless of what your religion is, it's an important place to see because, you know, it's really the cradle of three of the major religions in the world.
Yeah,
you know, Judaism, Christianity,
really
and
amazing.
Yeah,
really,
and Islam.
Were women created to lead or to follow?
I think some are great leaders and some are not. And you know, just like men, some men are great leaders and some are not.
But were they created to lead or to follow?
I think an individual person can have that ability. And I don't think it's a matter of were they created for that purpose.
Oh, you're saying that they were not created to lead,
no.
But if you teach them how they can lead
I think that there's an instinctive ability in some humans to lead. You know, not control other people as much as be somebody that other people want to follow, you know, want to, you know, walk behind or walk next to, you know, and I've seen that in women and I've seen it in men.
Would you ever follow a woman?
Of course.
You would?
Well, anywhere, man.
Amazing. So you would follow a woman?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that every time a man listens to a woman, he suffers?
No way.
Yeah.
They're usually happier.
Who?
A man who listens to a woman.
No,
a
beta male. Right?
No. I'm telling you, they've got it.
You will follow a woman?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah, happily.
How does that work in your mind? What do you tell yourself? Have you ever followed a woman?
Yeah.
So what do you tell yourself when you prepare yourself to follow this woman? What do you say to yourself to make it happen?
I don't have to prepare myself to follow somebody who is worth following or, you know, being next to and listening to.
But have you noticed that every time a man listens to the woman, he suffers?
No.
Regrets it later.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Really?
No. I've been around a lot of really impressive, powerful, and wonderful women who I'm happy to listen to. I'm happy to go where they want to go.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's not amazing. They're wonderful people that merit my loyalty, my interest.
Really?
Yeah.
No wonder you're an atheist. I got to ask you about your book, Bad A Solution to Today's Big A Problem.
Right.
In chapter one, you write about public schools, and you mentioned how private schools should be made illegal, right?
Yeah.
And why do you believe that private schools should be made illegal?
Well, we have two really serious problems with public schools right now. They're doing a poor job of educating our kids.
Yeah.
Kids are testing worse than they've tested in decades. We're number 28 out of 37 internationally. Our kids are testing in math. We're 12 out of 37 in sciences. We're way behind. And you know, in this fast-paced world, you can't be behind the rest of the world, let alone your own peers and, you know, needing to be successful in your own country. So we have that problem of poor education. But we also, I have a theory that we have another problem in the country of this Grand Canyon chasm between the rich and the poor. And that problem between those entities is getting bigger and stronger all the time and going to last for a real long time.
Right.
And I think that the school system is contributing to that. And what I mean by that is the wealthy people today who also have the most influence are putting their kids in private schools. So they don't really care about what goes on in public schools because their kids aren't there, Jesse.
Right.
And what happens is you've got kids. Now look, there are good public schools. There are lots of parents who really care about great education, help their kids along. You know, that exists. But for the most part, you take some kid in public school versus a kid whose parents have spent $25,000 to $50,000 a year at a college prep and the education that they get. They're not at the same starting line. So the kids who go to private school, they're going to get into the better schools. They're going to get the better jobs.
Right.
They're going to be wealthy. And they're going to sustain that difference between the rich and poor in our country. And I feel that's a very bad thing.
Really?
Yeah. You know,
and why is that?
Our founding fathers believed that America would survive and democracy would survive if everybody had equal opportunity. And particularly Adams, John Adams, believed that that began in public schools, that that was the insurance policy of everybody having the same shot at being successful in our country because they all went to public school and then became whatever they were capable of becoming. And I believe that very strongly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And do you support school voucher? Or where the parents can take the money, I think it's called school voucher.
Yeah, right, right.
And the parents can take the money from the public and take their children to whatever school they would like
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no, I don't.
And why not for that?
Because I think that just makes the problem I described worse. Because you have people who are wealthier and pay extra for their kids to go to private school. And now you're saying, well, let's take money out of the public school pool.
Right.
And give those wealthier people extra money to pay for their kid to be in private school. Because I tell you what, most people who have their kids in public school don't have extra money for a private school. They could take that voucher, but they don't have extra money like rich people do to add to it for a better school.
But that money, the voucher money, really belongs to the parents because it's the tax dollars that come from the parents. And they should be able to take their money and go take their children wherever they want.
I hear you. And it's a good argument. However, it's their choice to pay for something more. It's like if you tried to have the water company, DWP, reimburse you for water you're not using from your faucet because you buy bottled water.
Right.
Isn't it the same thing?
Not really.
It is, though. You're making a choice to buy bottled water and not using the water from your tap.
But still, that's not like making your kids suffer because other kids are failing. Do you support homeschooling?
You know what? I want equal education. I want those rich, most influential people in the public school discussion. I want them to make sure that all kids are getting a great education along with their kids. Bring them into this because they have to have, their kids are going to be there. They're going to make sure through their money and their political influence.
Really?
Yeah.
When you say equal opportunity, what does that mean?
Well, there aren't many opportunities for two people starting out. Just, you know, we come from different parents, different households, different cities, whatever it is. And to start out and say, how can we make this country give both of these kids an equal shot at being successful in the United States?
Amazing.
And the only way to do that, in my opinion, is through an education as the same. But make it as good as you possibly can. I mean, we really need to have fabulous schools, fabulous teachers, pay them a lot. We need great materials. We need great buildings. We need security. Fabulous schools. Treat teachers like a great profession.
Amazing.
Make it great.
But why should I, you know, most parents are no good and the children are no good, right? And so you have these parents who are putting their children into the schools and they're bad, as your book said, bad age children, right? And so if parents who care about their children, making sure that their education is happening, why should they, their children have to suffer by putting them in a public school with Bay A children?
Well,
coming from
because
Bay
everybody's
going to
be in there. Right. First of all, because everybody's going to be in public school, but you're not going to have bad kids ruin the school, the education for everybody else.
But you are.
They're going to have to get moved out. They're going to have to go to a remedial class, and then you know what? They're out.
But that's what's happening. So you're leaving the bad children at the public school, and you're taking your children away from them
because
you're not responsible for somebody else's child or children.
I'm saying
and you
should
let your family suffer just because they don't care.
No, I agree that everybody is in these great schools. And if you have some, you know, bad kid who, you know, who's disrupting everybody else, have other classes for kids like that, you know, in the public schools,
right?
And try to bring them along and, you know, help them see if there's a way to make them, you know, perform. And if there's not, they just can't be there. But they can't disturb the students and the classes toward getting a great education. That just doesn't work.
But that's never going to happen, by the way, because the school teachers, the teachers are no good nowadays. And so you're sending your children to this school with all these bad children.
What schools?
Bad parents,
what schools have the best teachers?
And homeschoolers.
And
maybe
schools.
Some private schools.
Private schools.
Right.
We've got. Listen, we need to have great teachers.
Right.
We need those great teachers.
But they're
in
not
the
in
public
the public schools.
Schools
today.
But if that's all there is, Jesse, there are. If that's all there is, there are no private. If there's no private schools, all there are public schools, and they're going to be treated well and paid well, and the classes are going to be, you know, smaller classes, great equipment, and safe.
But that's not going to happen.
Why not?
Because the teachers are no good, the schools are no good.
No, but that's...
And now they have women running the principals and...
That's how we
and
make
women
it.
Women are not created to lead, so the kids are not going to listen to that.
But what I'm saying is, if you take the wealthiest people who care so much about education, and they have the political influence, and make them put their kids in the public schools, you're going to see changes.
No.
All the things you're talking about are going to be fixed.
How about if they were to create competition for the public school? Like the public school has to compete with private school. They have to compete with homeschooling. Wouldn't the public school be forced to be to do a better job then?
Well, there.
How about that?
You know, it's a
competition is always good.
It is. I agree with that. But they're coming from so far behind, you know, of not having the money, not having the political influence to compete with private schools and those people who have their kids. It's not a fair competition.
But it's so unfair to make good children suffer with the bad children.
Not if you make all the public schools. What if?
But you can't change the
what
parents.
If you could
the parents
make,
are bad. Let's say you created the best schools on earth.
That's what I'm saying.
But the parents are still no good, and so the kids are going to still be bad. You
maybe,
can't change the parents.
Maybe the schools are so good that they actually help kids who don't have the support back home to be good students.
No, that's not going
to happen. It'd be nice if it did. I'm not sure.
Because the
that's
teachers
hard to
can't
do.
Be their parents.
Yeah.
Not at school.
Yeah.
So in your book, you also write about climate. Chapter 3 says you write about global warming.
Yeah.
Warming and climate change. I've always known that global warming and climate change is fake. That ever since Earth existed, the weather has been changing from season to another one. The rain comes, the fire comes, the earthquakes come. And they go, where does the idea of climate change and that somehow or another man can do something about it, where did that come from and why should we believe something like that?
Well, there's two terms for this, global warming or climate change. And you can have The cause is debatable. You know, is it because of burning coal and oil and, you know, putting smoke up in the sky that causes this, you know, the greenhouse gases that heats the land? So that is what causes, you know, the hotter temperatures on Earth, if you believe it. There's another truism that, you know, the Earth has over eons gone through many, many periods of freezing and thawing. You have ice ages and you have warm periods.
Right.
So that's a natural flow of this planet. But what's been going on is that the heating up of the planet is accelerating. It's faster than we can ever identify in geologic history. So it's kind of interesting. As the last year, 2024, had the hottest temperatures on Earth, on the whole planet, in recorded history. So as long as we've been keeping records, the hottest temperatures on the whole planet. But then it's causing something else, Jesse. The polar ice caps are melting at a very quick rate, much, much quicker than they ever did before. And in my book, I did get a lot of calculations, and I found something that at least I could relate to, which was the polar ice caps are melting at a rate that would fill 20 Olympic-sized swimming pools every second. That's a lot of water.
Well, since God is in control of climate, you know, the weather, the hot and the cold, mm-hmm. and the melting of the ice and yeah. all that, why don't we just leave it alone and let God handle it? He's been doing it all his life.
Well,
why not just leave it alone? And I noticed that the people who are into global warming and the climate change, they tend to be doing it for the money, because nothing ever changes. They get rich, but the Earth is still doing what it's doing, right? The weather and everything is still doing what it's doing. It seemed to be just for the money.
Well,
do you disagree with that?
It's hard to say, because we can't, you know, people are trying to stop the forces of, you know, the climate change, you know, of the fossil fuels and things like that. That's not where I am at all. I'm trying to stop the result, okay, so that the ocean levels are rising from all that water, that by the end of this century, all coasts and coastal cities and islands, Jesse, they're going to be flooded, completely flooded.
Well, the people have been saying that forever.
No.
It's like the Christian who believes that end time is coming.
No.
They've been waiting for the end time forever, ever since man existed. Right?
No.
End time didn't come yet.
Jesse,
so
there's data.
It reminded me of that.
There's data that is measuring that ocean levels are rising. It's empirical data. They can measure it. They can see that you know, you read like every week that some island is getting flooded out.
But
you
if
know,
that is true,
yeah.
Why not let God handle that? He's the one making it rise like that.
Well,
right?
If we can,
you don't trust God?
If we can put a hand in.
Oh, you don't believe in God.
All right. But if we have it, if we can. So listen, I have a solution.
Okay.
To stop the ocean levels from rising.
How?
And at the same time, use all that fresh water, you know, that the 20 Olympics.
Let Newton know about that.
Okay.
Because he's running the water into the ocean.
Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. But if you have, we can use all that fresh water for the billions of people that live on our planet in the most parched, arid lands, to give them fresh water and water for irrigation. 50% of people on our planet don't have access to fresh water.
Well, I agree with that. It should be made to help the people.
Exactly.
In that way.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
So that's what I found. That's what's here.
Okay.
To help these people move. So what I came up with is to move the water. So we can't stop the ice from melting into the oceans and causing the ocean levels to rise. But what I found really surprised me, that all that water that's melting is just a small fraction of the water that's going into the oceans from just our 20 largest rivers. So the rivers get snow and they get rain and they distribute water along their course, you know, for humans and irrigation and, you know, all that. And then what's left over goes into the ocean. And it's huge. It's much more than the melting ice.
I mean, so I'm black and slow. What's the difference between global warming and climate changing?
I think the effect is the same. I think they're two different terms for the same thing. That global warming is I think really meaning that it's because of human interference, you know, with burning fossil fuels, okay, and causing the global warming through the greenhouse gas effect. But the other, which is climate change, means that it's a normal Earth process. So whatever you believe, if you believe it's a normal Earth process, or you believe that it's something coming from, you know, from man using fossil fuels, it doesn't really matter to me, because what's happening is the ocean levels are rising. How do we stop that? And here's the solution for how to stop that.
Amazing. Why is it that they can never, you know, they built all these windmills and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And they don't work either. The birds are getting killed by them.
Yeah.
Why don't mankind realize he can't do anything about it? Is it because they don't want to give up the money and the so-called power? Why don't they just leave it alone and keep the earth clean? You know, don't throw their plastic bottles in the water, in the ocean. Do something about all the smoke. I understand that.
See, yeah, that's the biggest issue.
Yeah.
So if we could stop, you know, burning oil and gas and coal, then it would help.
We don't want to stop. We need the oil and the gas.
We need to, because there aren't good alternatives, you know, available yet. You know, like you're saying, you know, the windmills, you know, are having problems.
Yeah.
Nuclear energy has some real good hope, you know, to be able to help in that case. Solar is just a bit of a solution. Electric cars are just a bit of a solution, but it's not going to save our coasts in time. The water's rising.
Amazing.
So we got it. We can move that water, just 7% of the water in those major rivers. We can channel it to arid lands for use by humans.
Those people who care about the climate and the warming,
yeah,
do they know this?
Nobody knows it.
Why don't they know it?
That's why I wrote this, Jesse. I'm trying to get the word out.
Have you met with Al Gore?
No.
Meet with him.
All right.
He's been around a long time.
Yeah.
That mess. So let me ask, because of time, how come the global warming people and the climate changing people don't care about the climate in China? It's being reported that China is out of control with
that. Right.
They don't care about global warming. Why don't they talk to China to try to make them do right?
I think they've tried. I think internationally, all the countries and like the Paris Accords and all that, you know, they can't get China to comply. You know, it's very expensive, a lot of effort to change over their factories,
right,
you know, from burning coal. China and India, same thing. They're spewing so much smoke into the sky that we've made great headway in the United States. But we can't solve the whole problem. It's got to be everybody.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
So I got to ask one other question about your book. In chapter 4, you talk about gun reform.
Yeah.
What is gun reform?
We have 20 million assault rifles in the United States.
Nice.
20 million.
Nice.
Yeah. The kind that just shot President Trump. The kind that killed my brother-in-law's brother, 20 million. And, you know, well, it's funny. You know, maybe now we are gearing up to invade Canada, but I don't think so. So we don't need a militia. But, you know, we have rules, okay, about what guns you can have. I believe in the Second Amendment. I have guns at my house. I believe in it. But I don't think that we should have military weapons in the hands of civilians.
And why not?
Because they're being misused.
And so is that the gun fault or the people fault?
No, the people, for sure.
So we need to reform the people and not the gun.
Well,
right.
But we got to, all right, let me tell you something.
Am I right about that?
Yes. Okay. But there are things we can do. Yeah, there are things we can do. Because I don't think that we could stop the crazy young men, typically, who are going out and killing dozens of people at a time with assault rifles. So when we try not to let them have them, but they get them, you know, all that.
I am totally 100% for the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to have any type of gun I want. If I had a machine gun or whatever gun, it's the Second Amendment. I should be able to do it. And just because other people are misusing guns,
yeah,
that doesn't give them the right to take away my right to bear arms with any kind of gun I want. Isn't that true?
I'd like to think that was true, but it's not. It's just,
it
doesn't work that way.
People
so you
dumb.
Can't have a bazooka.
But I should be able to.
You can't have a tank.
Who's going to tell me not to have a tank?
It's against the law.
But if
you can't
I
have a machine gun. You can't have a bazooka.
But they should have that kind of law.
The government does say that certain weapons are too dangerous to society to allow them to be in the hands of civilians. The government does have that right, and as you exercise that right. So they've drawn a line, and they say, well, so far you can have handguns and automatic weapons and revolvers and assault rifles, but you can't have machine guns and bazookas
and
rockets.
Look at the government. The more you give them, they want that. Now they tell you, okay, you can have a little pistol, but you got to lock it up. You got to put it under the bed in the closet. You got to put the bullet over in another room.
Yeah.
And then have the gun over here. The government is telling us to do that because we're allowing the government to control us, where they have their guns right at hand and not in different locations.
Right.
And why should we let some stupid government tell us about our Second Amendment when they'll not follow those rules themselves?
Well, I think those are two issues. I think, you know, keeping your, you know, somebody telling you have to keep your gun unloaded in your house, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. But I do think that the government can say, we've got a problem. We have two mass shootings a day. Innocent people, children are being killed. We have to stop this. We found that we can't allow assault rifles.
But you can lock them up and electrocute them. Put them in a gas chamber and they'll stop doing it. Right?
I don't think so.
I think
you know what? I think you've got a lot of crazy people who don't think that well.
Of course.
You know, shooting up.
But those crazy people
shopping
lock
centers.
Them up. They won't do it anymore. Do people kill or guns kill?
Oh, no, it's people for sure.
Right. So why is the focus on the gun and not the people?
Because if you have a weapon that is so conducive to killing mass numbers of people easily, then and those weapons are being terribly misused every day, I think as a society we can say, you know, those are just too dangerous.
But then they're going to take knives.
No, no, no.
They're going to take cars and run over you.
That's the argument. If you take the assault rifles, they're going to take my gun. You know, and I don't agree with
but
that.
But the problem is, it's not the gun. If you didn't touch a gun, it was just lay there. It's the people. It's not the gun. So the focus should be on the people and not on the guns. You agree?
I agree that it's the person who pulls the trigger
right.
who's at fault. It's not the gun.
Right.
But
guns don't kill. People kill.
But guns can make it very easy for a crazy person to kill a lot of people.
But a crazy person get in a car.
That's right.
And run over people
That's
at a parade.
Right. That's right.
Like they did in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they ran over those people, right? So a car can do the same thing.
I agree.
Amazing, huh?
So no more cars.
Right, get rid of the cars. Because cars don't care. Did you, I planned to ask you about the woman thing. Should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
No.
And why not?
I think physiologically, men and women are different.
Right.
And I just don't think it's fair.
And should women be allowed to play in men's sports?
It's funny because that's kind of different. Because I think they're at an anatomical disadvantage typically, right?
You know, right. It's the same situation as a man playing in a woman's sport. It's the same man that's built different than a woman.
Yeah.
And if women are playing in men's sport, it's the same man that's different than a woman. So should women be allowed to play in men's sport?
It's probably more fair to say no.
All right.
You know?
Probably?
Yeah.
Or is it?
No, it is more fair to say no.
And why is it difficult to say no, women should not be allowed to play in men's sport? Why is that difficult?
You know, I think, you know, they've had some women who've been, you know, fantastic place kickers who could play football with men and been on college teams with men and done a great job.
Those same fantastic kicking women, why can't they do that if men are playing in women's sport?
No, I hear you. I do think it'd be more fair to say you can't change. You can't have women playing in men's, you can have men's playing in women, men playing in women.
You say what now?
It's more fair. Neither one can play in the other.
Right.
It's more
fair. Is that difficult to say? Because I was told what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah.
Right? So why are people not as straight up about no men should not be playing in women's sport and no women should not be playing in men's sport? Why aren't they straight up about that?
I think because the idea that a man who's, you know, gone through a sex change still has that size and weight and muscle mass advantage can overpower most women.
Right.
Okay. But in reverse, if you take a woman who wants to play, you know, or a right tackle, you know, and she can go up against these big guys.
That doesn't make sense.
But the size advantage has gone away.
And I noticed that.
I'm saying the size advantage has gone away, though, in that.
No, but
sample.
What happens is when women are allowed to play in the men's sport, the men have to weaken their power. They don't fight as hard. Maybe. They don't try as hard because they know that that woman is weak. So the men weaken their strength so that they can pretend that the woman is doing it. So it should be like, no, men, you cannot play in women's sport, and no, women, you cannot play in men's sport.
I'm okay with that.
Did you vote for the Great White Hope?
Oh, I never say who I vote for. I'll tell you why.
No, that makes sense.
One of the major parts of my book or components of my book is that it's nonpartisan. You know, when I was talking about not liking parties and all that, I only wanted what is the best solution. I didn't care about party. I didn't even care about money, Jesse. What will solve this problem? So I purposely don't ever declare my politics.
Right on.
And I really believe most people I know are conservative on some things and liberal on other things.
Right on.
You know, and I'm happy with that.
You have the right to that, absolutely. One other quick thing, because of time. You write about homelessness and you mentioned mental health what should we do about mental health situation in LA?
Massive problem. We've got in the United States 550,000 people are homeless. It's a huge number. And we see it so much here in California.
Right, everywhere.
Oh.
Everywhere.
It feels like half of them are at my freeway exit.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's huge. But I realized something that surprised me. We have 335 million people in the United States. So 550,000 people is only 17% of 1% of our population. It's tiny, Jesse. When you look at it with that perspective,
right,
it's a tiny percentage of our population that's homeless. And we are failing these people. These people are suffering terribly, that are mentally ill. They're drug addicted. They're Vietnam vet or veterans. They're people who simply can't make it in our economy, and they're not getting help.
Have you noticed that the government want them that way? Because the government give drugs to them, free drugs, free needles, free everything. So the government want them homeless.
It's hard to believe.
That?
I don't know. It's hard
do
to believe.
You see that?
But I do believe that taking care of them, getting them housing, food, medical care, mental health care, job training.
Right.
Is a touch of nothing in our country.
But do you see that the government want them that way because they provide drugs?
Sometimes it seems that, but I don't feel like that.
Really?
That's pretty cynical to think that.
Why do you think the government giving them free pot, free needles, free everything?
I think so.
And if the government didn't want them that way, why would they get them free drugs?
Well, I think it probably stops some crime.
No.
No, if they're not having to steal to go buy drugs.
You think it's okay for the government to get homeless people drugs?
No, I don't.
Why do you think the government is doing it then?
To keep people from being criminals.
No.
And yeah.
Because when they get high, they go and break in buildings, they steal.
They steal to get money to go
to buy
drugs.
So the government helped create the problem.
I think it's crazy. I think we can solve their problem. Listen, if we spent $25,000 for each one of those people,
I don't want to spend one dime on the homeless people. I'm not responsible for the homeless people.
Well, we
are not responsible for them, right?
Well, you've got people who need help.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Because you build these apartments for these homeless people, you give them free housing. What do? They destroy them.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So how is that helping them?
No, I think there are ways to help people.
Money on the freeway, and what do? They go buy drugs,
no,
and alcohol.
That's not the answer.
We're not responsible for the homeless people.
Yeah.
Right?
We cannot be a great country with so many people suffering on our streets.
If the government would get out of the way, then people would get up and take care of themselves.
Well, I think that's hard to buy.
Why?
How would that happen?
Just like you take care of yourself, I take care of myself.
These are people who can't take care of themselves.
They can. They just don't want to. They don't have to because they have the government, and then they have people giving them free money, free this. Why would they get up and take care of themselves?
I think they're pretty miserable.
They
don't think they're happy. I think they're pretty miserable.
If they weren't happy, they would take care of themselves.
Listen, I hear what you're saying. I think that you have people who just really can't.
No. Not
that they won't.
Not in America.
They can't.
They don't even have poor people in America. Nobody's poor in America. I got to ask,
okay,
do you support abortion? You write about abortion in your book. Do you support abortion?
I support a time limit where abortions are allowable and then they're not allowable. An incredible statistic came out from the Centers for Disease Control. Our CDC came out with a statistic. 94% of all abortions happened in the first 15 weeks of gestation.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So we've been fighting a 50-year civil war, Jesse. Over 6%, less than 6% of abortions that fall outside of that 15-week period. That 15-week period is basically acceptable, like to all sides, except the real extremes. Who want abortion, until the kid's coming out of the birth canal, or no abortion whatsoever.
So do you support abortion?
During the first 15 weeks, I do, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
So what gives a woman a right to kill the man's child in the womb? What gives her that right?
Well, hopefully it's both of their decision.
But most of the time, the men don't want it, and the women do it anyway.
Well, but I think a woman... first of all, it's dealing with her body, but she typically, if the man takes off, it's an issue that she's going to have to live with, that she can't run away from it.
So you're saying if the man run off, she should be able to do it?
No, I think hopefully it's a decision for both people,
right?
And if it comes down to it, that she needs to make a decision for her body and for her family and. She should be able to make that decision.
How does a female live with herself knowing she killed the man's child in the womb?
Well,
how does she live with herself?
Because I think the thing is, within that first 15 weeks, it's not a viable pregnancy.
Really?
Yeah. So
I think
that's why people live with that. Yeah.
The moment the everything hooked up together is the baby.
Well, that's what some people believe. I don't believe that.
Oh,
no.
You don't. What's wrong with the blacks?
Nothing. What's wrong with blacks?
Nothing wrong with the blacks.
No.
Really?
What do you think's wrong?
Angry, spoiled, victim mentality. They say everybody will create their problems, and they won't take responsibility for themselves. Do you agree with that?
I think there are some people that fit that description that are white, that are black, that are Hispanic, that are Asian. Absolutely, there are people that fit that description.
But how about the blacks? Do you believe that about the blacks?
No, not. I never group people together like that. I've known so many black people who are brilliant and successful. Look at you, my God! How can you say that?
But
how can
I'm
you
black say blacks? And slow.
You are not. You're brilliant. You're brilliant.
No, I'm black and slow.
And look what you do. You do so much. You accomplish so much.
I gotta ask: do you believe racism exists?
You know, I wish it didn't, but I think it does.
But where's your proof that racism exists?
I don't have it. I just...
Because it doesn't exist. It's a made-up word.
You think?
Oh, yeah. I know so. And I grew up on a plantation in Alabama.
Really?
Under Jim Crow.
I would love racism not to exist.
It doesn't.
I hope it doesn't.
It doesn't. One last quick thing. What do you think about the attack upon white men? White men are being blamed for everything. It's like all the people of color are blaming the white man for everything. What do you think about the attack upon white men and white people in general, but especially white men?
Well, I think
what do
that
you
was
think about that.
I think that was part of the, you know, the DEI and the woke programs and the things that were, you know, going along with that. But, you know, and certainly I don't lump people together ever. So I think that there were some efforts to say that, you know, that there was white privilege, you know, that some people, some
well,
whites
a
were.
A lie, though, right?
Yeah, because everybody's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. I got to put you on the hot seat.
What? This is hot, man. I've been on the hot seat for an hour.
So I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
All right.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
A man has, you know, the chromosomes and attributes of masculinity. Of
amazing. Parts. True or false? Real men make boys first.
I mean, as a parent?
True or false? Real men make boys first.
Absolutely no.
What?
Absolutely not.
Which is worse, abortion or slavery?
Oh, slavery.
Is,
hands down.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the earth flat or round?
Round.
Does a chicken have lips?
Yeah.
Should dual citizenship be made illegal?
No.
Should English be made first in this country?
Yes.
Do you tremble knowing white people may become the minority in America today?
No.
You don't tremble at that? And why not?
I'm more trembling about things not going well for everybody, you know, that things that people in our, particularly our leaders, are not doing a great job.
But if white people become a minority, it would never go well again.
Oh, white people have screwed it up pretty badly already.
By listening to the blacks.
What?
By listening to the blacks.
No, white people have not done this, you know, incredibly great job.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
No, she's hurt.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
No, false.
Should we give the blacks reparations?
No.
Are UFOs real?
Yeah.
Is it ever okay to tell the woman your problem? Should a man ever tell a woman his problem?
Sure.
Sure?
Yeah.
Amazing. Did you have fun?
Yes. You are challenging. Yes. You're great.
Thank you for taking on the hot seat, and thanks for being a guest here. Tell the folks about how to get your books and any other information you want to put out.
Oh, I appreciate
there. It. Yeah.
This is Badass Solutions. You can get it. The easiest is on Amazon. It's wherever books are sold, but Badass Solutions on Amazon. And I have Badass Solutions. .com. So you can get more information about it. You can write to me there, and you can click on different places to buy the book right on the website, too.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I wish you well with that. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to support the Father State at thefatherstate.tv/donate. And then locals.com. And check out Punchy's Coffee, jesseleepeterson.shop. Amazing, if you can remember all that. Also, like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe, check out our merch. And if there's someone else you'd like to see on the show, contact my producer, producer@thefatherstate.tv. And thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for supporting. That was fun, man.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse, so much. Thanks so much for having me.
And don't forget to pick up Bad A Situation.
Solution.
I mean, Bad A Solution for Bad A.
For Big A Problems.
Okay. Repeat it again.
Badass Solutions for Big Ass Problems.
Oh, amazing. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all. Amazing. Have a nice night.